This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 92, Why My Bloody Lenses Keep Vignetting. Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 92nd Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. For today's show, I thought we were going to talk about vignetting and solving vignetting problems. And basically, vignetting occurs when the corners or the edges of your image are darker than the center of your image, and you didn't want it. So that's a vignetting problem. But before we get into it, I'd like to thank people for their comments on our last podcast, number 91, where we talked about three ways to reduce noise. Both Jack Label and Seven Words gave some really interesting comments, and I'm going to read them now. Marco, just this week, Scott Bourne made a comment about noise, and I also think it's very true. If you expose for the right side of the histogram what would be the light areas, you get lesser noise. If you are photographing on RAW mode, try to get as much light as possible and then darken the image on post-processing, and that will dramatically reduce the noise. Also, the light quality has an influence on the amount of noise. Let's say you're photographing a Christmas party using ambient light at night. If the ambient light is bulb light, which is yellowish light, then you lack blue light, and the camera will try to compensate for this lack of perfect light, and it will introduce a lot of noise. So if you introduce a small pop of flashlight, the flash will compensate some of the lacking quality and will lower the amount of noise. Do a test with the same ISO, make a flash and non-flash picture, and you'll see how much noise can be reduced just by raising the quality of light. Happy holidays for everyone, and good pictures to all. And that was a comment by Jack Label, who left a second comment, forgot to mention, Lightroom 3 and ACR 6 have excellent noise reduction, and you can remove all the noise and even add some fake grain, which makes the picture even better. So those are some really good tips. I responded, thanks for the comments and extra tips, Jack. Muchly appreciated. I tried to keep the podcast really simple because noise can be a really complex issue, but Scott's logic works perfectly well for me and makes perfect sense. Many thanks again. And Seven Words also left an additional comment. Don't forget about the effect of sensor's temperature on noise. In general, the warmer the sensor, the more noise that is produced. And if you keep your camera away from external heat sources and avoid live view because it heats up the sensor, you'll get less noise. Thanks so much for those comments, guys. Like I said previously, I tried to keep the podcast simple. Maybe for some it was a bit too simple. I hope it reinforced people's knowledge if they've heard it already. As mentioned on past podcasts, comments given directly in the blog are our preferred way to get them. It just makes things so much easier to track, and it makes it easier for me to just credit people when I see the comment right in the blog. But any way you want to deliver a comment through the forum or directly through email, photography.ca@gmail.com, it's all a great appreciate it. And before I forget, Jack Label wished us happy holidays, and I want to wish everyone a really happy new year. It's our first podcast of the year, so I hope everyone had happy holidays and a happy new year again. So let's move on to today's topic, which is lens vignetting. So lens vignetting refers to the unwanted darkening around the corners of your image and is the result, in some cases, of the inherent imperfections or defects in most lenses. Basically, lenses are complex instruments that gather and focus light, and in order for the lenses to be portable and cost-effective, compromises are made in their manufacturing process, and one of these compromises is that the light cannot travel 100% evenly through all parts of the lens at all apertures. It travels most evenly through the lens's center, which leaves the edges darker in certain situations. So again, how lenses vignette can be incredibly technical. I do not have a degree in optics. I don't enjoy reading technical texts on optics. So all I want to do here is offer tips on when vignetting is most likely to happen and how to solve it. I should say that many people don't even notice vignetting at all when it's on their pictures. Our eye seems to like it when the corners of the photograph are darker or the edges of the photograph are darker, and that way our eye focuses on the focal point of the image or what's important at the center of the image. I come from the darkroom world, and I should say that well over 85% of the time on every single image that I printed, if the corners weren't sufficiently dark or the edges weren't sufficiently dark, I would burn them in, meaning I would darken them manually, again, for this very reason. So even though vignetting is sometimes unwanted, very often it's not noticed and our eye kind of likes it. But anyway, we're going to talk about solving the issue, so let's move on. Most people that dabble in photography, they're aware of vignetting in wide-angle lenses. I call this mechanical vignetting, or physical vignetting, or filter vignetting. And basically, this is when you put a filter, or two, or three on a wide-angle lens, and the wide-angle lens sees the actual filter itself. In the image, this is going to show up as a pure black or almost pure black around the edges. So how can we solve this? We can definitely solve this in several ways. Use the right size filter and a filter adapter if possible. So for landscape photographers that use wide angle lenses, you know, they'll read that the Kokin system is great. They'll go out, they'll buy a Kokin system, they'll slap it on their wide angle lens, and then they'll notice that they see the actual filter holder or some of the filters in their image. Well, you can get wider filter attachments for those wide angle lenses. Most people have the Kokin P perhaps, and you can get the Kokin Z, and that can help defeat the vignetting in these cases. Another way to do it, if you don't use the Kokin system or anything like that, is that many photographers have a UV filter or clear filter protecting their lens. And as we all know, or as many of us know, using a polarizing filter outdoors, especially in the day, that can really intensify skies. And a lot of people, you leave it on their camera at all times. Well, if you're going to leave a UV filter and a polarizing filter on your wide-angle lens, there's a good chance that you're going to see some vignetting, especially at wider apertures and especially as you focus toward infinity. It's just normal. These are just natural obstructions in front of your lens, so use less of them. You know, what I do is, if I'm using a polarizing filter and I'm using a wide-angle lens, I'm deliberately taking off my UV filter. So if I have a wide-angle lens and I'm shooting at night, so then my UV filter is on. But if I'm shooting in the day, I'm typically taking off that UV filter. I only use a UV filter for protection for no other reason. Zero, nada, nothing. Only for lens protection. So my polarizer filter is protecting the lens in this case, so I will remove the UV filter. Makes sense. You can also use thinner filters or slim filters. I like to call them the anorexic filters. And these are filters that are thinner than normal filters. And they're designed specifically for this reason. So you can get yourself some slim filters as well, and those may help. You can also buy larger size filters than are needed. So let's say you're shooting a 24 millimeter lens and that 24 millimeter lens has a filter diameter of 52 millimeters. So instead of getting a screw-on filter that's 52 millimeters, buy one that's larger and get yourself a ring adapter that attaches to the actual lens and accommodates a larger filter. That can also help get rid of this mechanical vignetting. As I think I mentioned before, even with this mechanical vignetting, stopping down, depending on how bad the vignetting is, can help the vignetting. So you can do a test for yourself, you know, shoot the scene at, f2.8 or f4, and if you notice some mechanical vignetting, try stopping down to, you know, f8 or f11. Just shoot the sky, and just as a test, you know, just really simple. Go outside, point the camera straight up. It's kind of what I did in my tests, you know, dumb and dirty, but they work, and you'll see the results for yourself. So stopping down can help with this. Focusing slightly closer than infinity can also help, though not as much as stopping down. So if you're shooting the sky, you're likely at infinity, just pull back from infinity somewhat, and you should also notice some improvement. And of course, you can also use programs like Photoshop or Lightroom to defeat this vignetting with software. Of course, you can do that. And we'll talk a little bit more about that after. You should also know that at a certain wide-angle focal length, maybe somewhere around 20 millimeters on a full-frame camera, you can do your equivalent math for your crop cameras, it's going to be impossible or near impossible to defeat this mechanical vignetting other than using software to correct for it. You know, it's just seeing too wide, so it's going to see the edges of what you put on it at a certain focal length, and there's nothing you could do about that. So landscape photographers that, are using ultra-wides, for example, they often won't be using a polarizing filter on that lens because of the vignetting that it's going to do. So just be aware that there is a limit to how wide you can go and not have any vignetting issues. And just so it's clear, we're talking about wide-angle lenses here, but you can have vignetting at any focal length. Just slap enough crap in front of your lens and eventually you're going to see it. So it only stands to reason. So I just wanted you to be aware of that. And I was surprised to be having a conversation along this similar theme with a salesman in one of my favorite photo stores in Montreal. I walked in with my 28-300 lens by Nikon. I've just had this lens for a few months now, and I quite like it. And he wanted to know how I liked the lens, the salesman. And I told him that I really liked the lens. I thought it was quite a good all-purpose lens, but that the vignetting at the 300 end was quite severe. And he was asking me if I'm sure about that, because according to him, vignetting only happens on wide-angle lenses. So I'm very sure about that. I've been very sure about that for years. And I'm happy to say that not only did I school him a bit, but it actually gave me material for this very podcast. So let's now talk about optical vignetting, which is the other type of main vignetting that I want to talk about. And this is simply the result of the lens compromises that we spoke about at the beginning of the podcast. And just so we are crystal clear here, just because you think you're a pro and you got a lot of money and you spent a whack of cash on your newest lens, let's say it's a 70 to 200 VR f2.8, then it costs you $2,500, and you think because you spent this professional money on this professional lens that you will not get vignetting problems, you are wrong. Those same lenses, as well as lenses that cost $5,000, these are all subject to optical vignetting in some certain cases. All of them, all the ones that I know, all the kick butt expensive lenses that I know can still vignette in certain cases. So basically, this optical vignetting happens again because of the lens compromises. When a lens sees the light rays don't pass through all parts of that lens evenly. And this is especially true if the camera is angled toward its subject. So let's say you're shooting directly into a beam of light. Okay, in that case, you're way less likely to get vignetting because the beam of light is directly in front of the lens, and the lens, most parts of the lens, are gathering all of the light rays. However, if you turn that camera to an angle, then I hope you can visualize this, but not all parts of the lens are gathering the light rays equally. The center is gathering most of the light rays, but not necessarily the edges. So because the edges don't gather all the light rays, that's one of the main reasons you'll get vignetting, even on a $5,000 lens. So stopping down 1 to 3 stops, this should really be able to solve this. And again, why is it solving this? Because the wider the hole, if the camera is at an angle to the light source, as we just mentioned, you know, the periphery around the circumference of the lens is not seeing as much, is not gathering as much light as the center of the lens. So by stopping down, you are getting more of the light passing through the center of the lens, and that will lead to less vignetting. And this problem is most severe on most lenses at the longest part of the lens and when you focus at infinity. So, you know, the 28 to 300 I was talking about are for my tests. I basically shot more at the 300 end and I shot more wide open, and the vignetting is clear. Is clear as day. And then when I stop down a little bit, the vignetting gets better. And when I pull back from infinity a little bit, it also gets better. So I'm going to put these images in the show notes for you to check out. But really, it's a simple test that I did. I went out and I shot the sky, and you could do the same. And it takes 5 friggin' minutes, and you will totally see this for yourself. Like I said at the beginning, we may not notice it when we shoot people or a wall or an event because there's stuff behind the sky. You know, you can't just see up your color, but it will likely be there in some cases. So I just wanted to make you aware of it. And of course, you can also solve this using software. Both Photoshop and Lightroom and many other graphics programs can help solve vignetting. There's lens filter corrections in these programs for you to remove the vignetting. And if you like vignetting, there are ways to do this manually. Like I said, I used to do this in the darkroom manually. Our eye likes it a lot. So even though it's an unwanted problem, sometimes we don't notice it. And it really focuses our eye to the more important parts of the image, which are rarely at the extreme corners. And that's really the essence of the other main type of vignetting that's not mechanical, optical vignetting. Before I forget, there's another type of vignetting. It's also closer to mechanical than optical. And this happens when we use the wrong size lens for a given sensor size or film plane size. And this happens all the time now when we use our crop sensor camera lenses and we try and use them on a full frame camera. Basically, when you're using a crop factor camera, your sensor is smaller than if you use a full frame sensor. So if you use a lens developed for that smaller sensor and you try and use it on a larger sensor, it only stands to reason that it's focusing the light on the more central part of the full frame sensor, and less light is hitting the corners, which gives you vignetting. So the solution is use lenses designed for the proper camera. Use crop factor lenses on crop factor cameras and full frame lenses on full frame cameras as often as possible. Of course, you can easily solve this in Photoshop or Lightroom, but you know, it's another common reason people get vignetting. You know, they borrow lenses from other people and they don't understand what the heck is going on. So I just wanted to mention that as well. And that's really all I got to say about vignetting. If you want more technical info, there is a fabulous article about lenses in Cambridge in Color, and I'm going to put the link in the show notes. So if you love more technical stuff, you got a link coming. In terms of the assignments on our photography forum, our regular assignment is emotion, and our level 2 assignment is backlighting, and so far, as usual, really creative submissions. So if you're lurking on our forum, I recommend that you join. We're a very friendly bunch. The forum is growing, and we love new people. So stop lurking, join, it's free, submit an assignment or a pic, and join our community. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. It's wintertime now in many parts of the world, and many of our listeners are stuck in the winter, and they don't want to go outside and take the beautiful shots that are available outside. And I guess I kind of understand that, because I'm not so fond of the winter, but I must say, winter offers some incredible photographic opportunities. A lot of the times the colors are lacking in the winter, so it's a great time to try, you know, black and whites, try scenes, try isolating more simple compositions perhaps, and turn them in black and white, or not, or ignore this advice and just stay inside. But if you are staying inside, just do one thing for me, keep on shooting. Bye for now, everyone. Thanks for listening. Happy New Year again.